Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing, 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations, 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation, and 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Piercing the Veil with Jordan Michael and co-host Corey Stevens. We have a guest on today. His name is Ross Diot. He's a spiritual rapper, and he takes it to the next level. We're going to get a little sample of what he does, and I have a little spot that's made for him, so you guys are going to get to enjoy that as well. For those of you just joining us, last week we actually touched on the Burns, Oregon events and how that kind of wrapped itself up in a real bad way. We're also did some role-playing as well. What we're going to do is start doing forum-style or call-in-style episodes or shows more often. I think it's really important that we start getting some of these questions answered and some of the techniques displayed. So that being said, today what we're going to do, Corey, we're going to talk a little bit about sound, energy frequencies, and how they're affecting people in society today. That's really going to tie in with what Ross is all about, and he'll tell you more about that once we come back from our first commercial. Corey, what's your take on sound and how it affects everyone?
Sound. I read this book a while back called Nada Brahma, and I believe that's Sanskrit for the world is sound. So everything is sound. We know if we know our science a little bit, or at least what's been conveyed to us, we know that a table is not really a solid object. It appears to be a solid object because it's actually a bunch of particles with a great deal of distance between them vibrating at a certain frequency, which gives us the impression to our senses that it's solid. But in fact, we know that if we go deeper into the atomic makeup of a table, for example, we know that there's just a bunch of empty space in there. And so,
agreed. And that vibration you speak of, that is sort of like a standing signature energy wave of any given object, thing, or, you know, or animate object, if you will. And that's a sound that can be replicated somewhere. If you know what it is, you can replicate it. And if you have two like sounds, they're going to repel each other. And now you've got a directed sound, I wouldn't say a weapon, but a tool to utilize for moving heavy objects. And that's how I think the pyramids were built, were using sound and vibration. There's many, many different theories, but I think that's a central theory on how they raised the blocks. There's other ones on how they melted them to form them perfectly.
I think there's demonstrations, even modern day demonstrations, of Tibetan monks actually being able to levitate rocks.
Boulder lifting,
yeah, stuff like that. So it's not not a Brahma, man. Everything is sound. it's more than just what our ears hear, just like the light frequency. We see a very small sliver of the electromagnetic frequency with our eyes. And so likewise, sound being waveforms, I think behave in a similar manner.
Absolutely.
They might even be indistinguishable, light and sound.
It's funny you say that. It's something that I've actually touched on before in some of my writings. I do believe they're interconnected. I also believe that they're deep reservoirs of universal power or zero point energy. And they're just like a primary expression of that energy into the physical realm, which is why sound and light are so integral and have such a profound effect on all things, including water. You know, and you get all these people that say, well, the body is 75% water, and, you know, that's why it affects us. Well, yes, it's true. But if you really want to take a closer look into the molecular level, right, Your body's, with your cellular water, you're about 99% water.
Right.
So, yeah, it really affects you in ways that you don't realize.
Right, so, and you're 99.9 to the umpteen power empty space.
That's right. That's right. You're being held together by conscious intent and will, some sort of cohesion
by
particles.
By thought, by a mind, yes.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and then it all ties in with sound and how you express yourself. You know, even how some people who claim to be telepathic and have proven some ability will sometimes talk about how they still hear the sound of the person talking when they're communicating nonverbally, right? The sound is still present.
In their inner ear. Right. Yeah. That gets kind of freaky, man. Who's doing the talking? Who's doing the talking? Where's that sound coming from?
Yeah, so it really affects people, and when you listen to music, you know, not only does it ingrain in you the present sense of the experience you're having there. What I mean by that is, you know, you can listen to a song that you've heard 20 years ago, and all the details suddenly come flashing back, sort of like smell and sense memory. You know, so it speaks to how profound the effect was on you, that it was stored somewhere in your body or your consciousness for so long. And if you think about what's being put out in what we would call mainstream music today, you're seeing this sort of, I would say it started out as a slow infiltration, this poisoning, this hateful, nasty, negative concepts and lyrics and memes and abbreviations of language and dumbing down of society, you know, Idiocracy style. And you can just see this happening. And when you listen to stuff like that, it just sits with you. It just sits with you, whether you feel it or not. You know, you might think, oh, yeah, that beat's, you know, I love that beat. That's so cool. You know, I like this. You know, those lyrics are so hard, blah, 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 right? Well, where are you going in your life? You can go hard, but you're going to go hard into the ground some way or another, you know, because that's what you're manifesting and attracting. So,
yeah, music is, the intentional manipulation of sound. It can go a lot of different directions, man, for sure.
Agreed. And there is a difference between music and playing sounds. You know, the music is a cohesive, creative, you know, spontaneous sometimes, like in the case of jazz.
Right.
And it's got flavor, it's got style. You know, they've got hot jazz, or they got cool jazz. They got the cool cats, you know?
Right. Yeah, and, you know, also to, you know, then there's the more kind of literal aspect of the music, which is, you know, lyrics. What are people actually saying? So there's, you know, what are people saying, and how is the music, you know, affecting you and so forth.
Yeah, we talked about water, and Mario Emoto from Japan, I believe that's his name, did that study on water where people spoke words to it, and he recorded under microscope, flash freezing them. And, you know, you could definitely tell the disorganization and the nastiness and the brown discoloration even from the negative words that were spoken to those samples. Right. And in the positive, they form beautiful fractals. So it really does have an effect.
Yeah, and word sound, as far as, you know, the Rastafarian culture has a word sound, they like to say, and that there's more to the syllables and the sounds in language, particularly the English language, and how they're spoken, and the Rastas like to break down. I talk about the English language a lot. It's, you know, it's a mishmash of all kind of bastardization of all kinds of different languages and things thrown together. I think we've talked about it on a past show where, you know, even depending on the circumstances that a particular word is used in a sentence, right, it can mean something entirely different than what is commonly understood. And so the Rastas were definitely aware of the power of sound, particularly through music, but also the power in the use of language, the sound of language. You hear it in the patois. It's a very musical type of speech, the English Jamaican patois, and also breaking down the English language, you know, as far as some of the words and the terms that we use in English that we don't really think about, and you know what we're actually saying.
When everything airy, man, it all goes twing twing.
Yeah. I and I. You know.
Okay. Well, that, yeah, I mean, so some cultures have it ingrained in them. It hasn't been bred out. You know, like you say, the English language is just a mishmash of everything and you know, basically spell casting. So when you're speaking not only the English language and these syllables, but then infusing them with this hate and these nasty negative concepts and then producing it in society and casting it in such a way that to appeal to impressionable minds that have no way to judge otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that happens, that's you get what we're here, you know, what we're hearing and sitting in today.
Yeah.
Nastiness.
Yeah. I would even say certain other types of less aggressive music has a similar palliative or maybe even negative effects, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, elevator music, as it were, and just, you know, just sort of they just resonate in ways that are either palliative or aggressive or inflammatory or what have you. So all kinds of music out there from all kinds of different cultures. And yeah, you know, people listen to what they like. But do they really know what they like? have they actually heard other kinds of music from different places, or is that just what everyone's listening to, so that's what they like?
That's right. So then you speak to social engineering and pressure, even if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the state we're in today. I really feel that our guests here today, Ross. My apologies. Ross Diot, he's really going to break through to a lot of people. And I was going to mention my friend Ron, who's a drummer at the Drum Circle in Dallas. He met Ross, and we're going to try to introduce him and see if we can get him to do a little rap in front of people in that venue and see what the effect is, right? Mm-hmm. So Ron and Ross might work together, and we'll bring them back on if that's the case and get a sample. But just listening to him once or twice, you know, I can really just feel the energy coming through myself. So that's how I know he's going to affect just a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, so and he's got conscious lyrics, man. He's, you know, lyrics. He's talking about things that we're talking about, things that people aren't aware of, don't think of. You know, a lot of people who are accustomed to hearing certain things might not get it. But that's okay. Some people will.
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to try to hook him up in the local scene down here in Dallas. I'm really excited to see what happens between him and Ron. The guy's just a phenomenal drummer, and Ross is a phenomenal lyricist. So, yeah, it really is going to have a profound effect on everybody. And this is what needs to be done. You know, we need people to stand up and speak out in whatever way they can and not apologize for it. It's sort of one of the elements of a Guild of Tactical Wordsmith. And tactical wordsmithing is you must stand on your square and don't be worried about offending somebody else. It's just their perception. It's their responsibility and their duty to manage their reaction. Now, that's to a certain extent. If you get egregious with it and you step over the line, then there's the duty is waived and they, you know, they're not going to be forced to defend themselves, but they can choose to if they want. You know what I mean? So there is always that balance that you have to ride. And I think that's what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's balance. So without further ado, we're going to go to his commercial. And when he comes back, we're going to bring him in. And we'll just go to commercial now. I hope you guys enjoy this.
1913, the Fed took over. Now private corporations are currency owner. And they'll print that shit till it's straight out of toner. The debt is theirs. It's all on a loaner.
Planet Earth. Modern times. The hip-hop music genre has been flooded with darkness. Violence, intolerance, and ignorance are all being subconsciously instilled in the minds of millions of Americans. However, the time has come to end the darkness of rap. A band of rappers has united to bring higher levels of consciousness to Earth through their art. They call themselves the extraterrestrial aliens. T Tickled Wizard and the members of Extraterrestrial Aliens proudly offer a variety of ways to download and stream their high vibe raps. Check them out on SoundCloud, datpiff.com, iTunes, or Facebook for free downloads and keeping up with relevant events.
Fantastic, fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Corey, what did you think?
All right, that was good, good. Sounds good, man. Sounds good to me. Bring it.
Awesome. Why don't you go ahead and bring them in, and let's see what we can get answered.
All right, Ross DeOtt, Spiritual Raps. What do you got for us, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing super duper. I am enjoying this very much. Listening to y'all is great.
Excellent, man. Excellent. So, give us some background, man. Tell us your story. How'd you get into it? What are your influences? Those kinds of things.
Well, first I'll start off with talking about some of the things that you guys were talking about. I didn't know if it was proper to chime in, so I just wrote them down.
You do whatever you want, brother.
Okay. you're talking about the Buddhist monks levitating stuff with sound, and an example a little bit closer to home was Ed Lichtenstein, if you guys heard of him, or Lichtenstein.
His name's Lackiston. Kind of hard. Lead Scallinen, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds more accurate.
Crystal Castle, Coral Castle in
Coral
Florida.
Castle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Coral in Florida, yeah.
And he rebuilt, like, you know, this amazing multi-acre complex out of super heavy stones just by himself.
Right.
And just with sound, and he did that twice. So that if anyone wants to Google that, that would be a cool thing to look into.
What's it called again? The Coral
Castle? Castle in Florida.
Right. In Florida. Yeah. It's very interesting. I would check it out.
And then you guys were talking about casting spells with lyrics, which I'm definitely into that. I think that's been happening for a while. And the frequencies that they're tuning their songs at. I don't remember the frequency, Jordan. You might know this, 540 hertz or something.
It hasn't been confirmed to my knowledge. I have done some research into it, a change from 432 to 440. It is probable, and there could be many different reasons for it.
Middle C?
Yeah. Well, I think
something.
I believe it's A.
Oh, okay. A. Right, right. Yeah, there has been some adjustments to the tuning system that's used in Western music.
Yes, yeah. And when I've asked about it, most classical musicians I've run across will basically just brush it off and say, oh, that was just some sort of nominal thing. They did that back in, you know, the 50s, you know, don't worry about it.
Mm. They always do.
So how did you get started in this, Ross?
Well, it started, I guess, when I was a little kid. Me and my mom would rhyme all the time. So I always had a knack for rhyming and just keeping it up as fast as I could. So when I got to college, I started listening to rap. I never really thought much of it. I wasn't grown up thinking listening to rap. I didn't grow up in the hood. I grew up in the suburbs, and I listened to Christian rock. So didn't listen to rap until I got to college and started enjoying cannabis a little bit more. That I really started vibing with it and slowed down and listened to the lyrics and thought, ah, they're saying some funny stuff. They're actually saying some meaningful stuff with this cool, you know, beat that could have different effects from chill to super high vibe, rawr, in your face. So I thought that was cool, and I was really attracted to it. I started listening to rap for maybe a year until one day I was listening to it, and it just hit me, boom, how much crud it was that was just going into my brain. And I was thinking, I really like this. I really like the words rhyming together the way I you know, rap music, but I hated the message, you know, the spell casting that was going
you
on.
You like the cadence but not the message, right?
Correct, exactly.
Yeah. Did you notice a shift any given time period or over a period of years? Because I kind of noticed a slow shift, you know, from hip hop talking about real things in real life and sort of making struggles and stress,
yeah,
and stuff like that, to just,
yeah,
crap.
Biggie and Tupac, they rapped more a lot about their lives. They were honest. They weren't yeah, they weren't nearly as violent and valued women. They had a lot more depth to them, I would say. But I, like I said, I wasn't really introduced to hip hop until I was in college, so I didn't have that background like everyone else did. You know, I didn't know who Biggie and Tupac were until, yeah, I don't know, much later after I got into rap. So, yeah, and then exploring old stuff and then conscious rappers and that whole rabbit hole.
So who are your main influences, if you had to name a few?
I mean, I guess, another thing that I really haven't thought about much is Weird Al Yankovic. I listened to the crap out of his rap when I was younger, because it was more appropriate. I could rap about reindeer getting killed by Santa, but, you know, people shooting each other wasn't okay to rap about. Makes sense. Anyway, so I would say that would be one of my first influences subconsciously.
So you found a artistic license or sort of a comedic release through parody in the rap, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I dug it back then, and I like the satire. Mm-hmm. I like laughing with music.
Mm-hmm. Are we still doing it, Weird Al? Didn't he just come out with a new record not too long ago? Last year?
Yeah, he's still going strong.
Heck yeah.
Parody is in, and if you can bring the truth in a paradoxical fashion, obviously, you know, not to confuse anybody, but to make them think. So it's like, wait, is that really what it is, or is it this other thing? And yeah, if you kind of put some humor behind it as well, then you're really going to wake, yeah, you're going to wake a lot of people up.
Yeah, comedians get to tell the truth, man, in public, you know, but everybody's laughing about it. And it's like the medieval court jesters, right?
True.
They could go into court and like openly make fun of the king, spill the beans of all the courtiers, and more often than not survive with their head still intact, because that was their role, and they use humor and satire. So yeah, to your point.
We all fulfill our roles in a special manner, and to fit the exact role, their primary role, is the main goal, I think, that people are seeking as the purpose of life. And the side roles are things that, you know, are sort of mismanaged in life, like personal relationships or work or, you know, financial obligations, so on and so forth. So if you can find the primary role, like we all have, it appears, then you're really free to focus on everything else that you want to make a part of your life in a healthy and responsible fashion. So again, you know, waking people up is great, and taking care of yourself is more important, so that you can continue to wake people up. So how do you find your message being received, you know, when you do rap around people and, you know, any events or gigs that you do?
That is my favorite part. They freak out 9 times out of 10. They hear it and they're like, oh, but that was not expecting that. Holy bleep, 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 bleep. And yeah, they want to hear more. And, you know, it's a huge ego boost. And it's really cool that people are slowing down to listen to my lyrics like I did when it was trash. Okay. That's the main reaction I get.
Okay. And so, you know, we talked about the parody. Is there any type of cadence or style or any other flavor that you got from any other rappers? Because, you know, I can name a few that sort of influenced me before I made my shift into other music and higher vibe lyrics and stuff.
I'll talk about this later more, but I rap with some other conscious rappers, Toasted the Terrestrial and Young Owl, and I would say they influenced me some, just what they rap about. Capital Steez, he's dead now, rest in peace, but he is always with us. And he talks a lot about conscious things, and he was only 18. There's a lot of interesting stories about him, but Capital Steez is someone I would say that has influenced me as far as topics go. And
okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I like Big Daddy Kane from back in the day. KRS.
Yeah, Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One.
KRS, definitely. Yeah. That guy, he's in my view, one of my all-time favorite MCs. His Muse, KRS-One.
Ross, you would like KRS.
Yeah, he was way deep on conscious levels, and his music was bumping. He's out of the Bronx, like
yeah.
late.
Heck yeah.
Late
grimy,
80s, 90s.
Grimy, grungy societal oppression being thrown out for everybody to see.
And decoded, you know? And decoded. Especially. Yeah, KRS. And a lot of the guys from, I guess, the Speaking in Tongues crew, like Tribe Called Quest.
Yep.
And
yeah.
The Jungle Brothers and those guys from like the early 90s.
For me, it was Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang. Yep. Very grimy. But they tell the truth too, man. You know, there's, you know, I think they ride both sides of the fence in terms of
they
message,
do.
Perhaps. But, you know, they're no dummies.
Yeah. So, Ross, let me ask you a question. How do you look at expanding the message? Like, what would you do if you were able to get like a concert going? Would you involve the entire crew, or would it be sort of like a solo thing you'd want to try first? Or what's the deal with that? How do you guys work?
Well, first of all, my Toasted and Young Owl have done several shows in Florida, and I haven't been able to join them, but they're having one in March that I've been thinking about getting down to, so I would get to perform with them then. Music festivals is the main venue that I see people really connecting with this music at.
Okay.
I think that, you know, conscious individuals who are listening to music who, you know, would vibe with this, I think music festivals sounds like the perfect place.
Well, I mentioned Ron, and you remember him. He is putting together a festival supposedly this year for reggae and some other different types of genres. So that's completely within realms of our possibility is getting you up there.
I've been meeting other people as well. Just the other night, I met another venue, a guy who put on who provides equipment for him and does bookings and stuff. So. Yeah, I'm definitely opening up the possibilities in my life for that. So we'll keep going with that, Jordan.
Perfect.
You know who's got some really good, really interesting music on his show? Is Yusef El over at High Frequency Radio. There's a lot of he has a lot of music on in some of the intros to his shows of cats who I don't know who they are. But you know, banging music and talking about a lot of the stuff that that we're talking about in terms of the behind the veil stuff and how things are really going down. So I would highly recommend that.
Absolutely.
You could probably find out who these cats are, you know, send them an email and ask them, you know, who the guys are who on some of his show intros. But he's got a lot of good conscious MCs on there.
I've heard an email. Yeah, I've heard what you're talking about, Corey and Ross. You should definitely check that out. I really dig those guys. Yusef El and Jonah Bey have been an integral part of my recent understanding and evolution to the next level. Those guys are doing it right. You should definitely check them out.
Yeah, over at High Frequency Radio, Blog Talk Radio.
Dope.
Yep. Okay, well, can you talk a little bit about the state or the state of mind or your body feel or those types of things that you go into when you get into, you know, what people would call the flow, or if you're just freestyling by yourself trying to create another organized rap or something like that?
Yeah, I saw that on the docket, and I was very interested that you put that because that's something that I definitely do. I rap about it even. And yeah, it's I just listen to the beat a few times, sometimes many, many, many times, and try to let go, try to, you know, I don't really know, just try to channel to the beat. Sometimes, I guess most of the time, I'll pick a topic to focus on, and you can kind of tell when I do in a song, and it'll pick up that for, you know, several lines. Sometimes I can write the whole song about it, like We Are One is pretty much the whole song about unity with source and all creation being one. And, you know, I kept on that topic the whole time, with that beat. And if you listen to it, you'll see why. But yeah, so it's pretty much meditating, clearing my head, letting the beat, and channeling kind of whatever's going on, what I'm trying to. Sometimes I'm sharing my, you know, journey, what's been going on in my life, my learnings. I'm always learning from somewhere, taking in. There's an ashram in Denton. Here at the Garden of Eden, Quinn provides a bunch of knowledge, books, you know, always taking in information from everywhere. So that composes my lyrics, I guess, and, you know, all from the subconscious mind, and it comes through with my intention in the beat.
So you sort of just kind of intend the channel to open and then combine it with all those things you just spoke about. And it's sort of like what's happening when I go into court, or when one of them goes into court.
I was going to say, yeah, wordsmithing.
It just turns on. It's like a faucet. Ooh, it's on.
Heck
yeah. You
don't
have to know what you're going to say. There's no pre-planning. It just comes out.
I can't write fast enough.
Yeah, exactly. That type of flow is just so powerful. And I really think that if you can just trust yourself to remember, or trust yourself to speak it properly, and just the confidence in the thing or the action or the concept is what's really important. I think that if you can grasp that,
confidence is key.
That's right. That you'll always be in the flow in anything that you do. So it really, again, you know, I want our listeners to be present to the fact that everything is tied into on a spiritual level. It's really like a spiritual connection, but also a spiritual agreement with your body. The consciousness is saying, I need you to perform in such a manner that's so specified and detailed. And oh, by the way, random, and make it sound good. Can you do that? And once that's, you know, it results in a very nice freestyle. You know, some freestyles are just so inventive, and it really speaks to creative spirit and what we're all just channeling all the time without knowing.
Yeah, and there's a history in that in improvisational music, which was basically created by the jazz men. They took pretty much standard music, European-based music. Most jazz players, I would say, my dad was a jazz head. You know, they're trained in music theory and classical music and standards of the day and stuff like that. They have a pretty broad musical knowledge, and they know the music well enough where then they can improvise on it. So, you know, you'll run the head to a song, and then each person gets their chance to freestyle over the chord changes and stuff. So there's definite, even hip hop and freestyle rapping and emceeing has a precedence in jazz, and then now there's all kinds of improvisational music. You know,
and I think if you look in jazz, Corey, exactly what you're saying is, you know, they have the main or the header of the song, and then the chord changes and the bass, if you will, like the bass line,
right?
Bass guitar, but the bass line of the song, and they take their turns to improvise over. And then I sort of noticed a shift to where the improvisation was the main line, you know, and it was just filled in with these standard little tunes or chords or whatever they knew would sound good by ear. And then now you've just got pure art on stage.
Right. It's pure spontaneous performance. You could say that the chord changes and the basic structure of the song could be like principles, right? For instance, like the way you go into a courtroom, you have your basic principles. You know what needs to happen in the courtroom. Right, you know your chord changes and you know your basic structure of the tune, if you will.
But if the electricity goes out or the chord comes out,
right, and then you're in there freestyling. You know, the judge is going to come with his thing, and then you're going to come back with your thing, and you know your call and response. And so, yeah, it's very much like a improvisational music performance, wordsmithing.
Yeah, it really has a profound effect on people. I just want to keep repeating that because it's so true. You know, just think back to any concert you really enjoyed or any music that you listened to through your headphones or anything that you would deem a crutch, kind of. You know, the music kind of gets you through the day, right? I've experienced that before. Any of those, think about how they make you feel and how it really brightens your whole aura and your mood while you're listening to the music itself. The sound is so healing, and it can also be so damaging. Just need to be aware of what you're receiving and how you're receiving it. Mm. So Ross, like, does anything happen, like, in your body, or do you feel any type of energy surges when you hit on a good topic or flow? Like, describe, if you will, for our listeners, like, what happens in your body when you get into that flow? Is it sort of like an altered state?
More like, I guess I can't write fast enough is a good way to describe it. You know, I just get like downloaded this a whole verse, and I have to write that down as fast as I can. It's not a whole verse, but, you know, maybe 10 lines or something that I get, you know, just like that. And you have to write that all down before you forget it, especially if you're stoned.
Right.
So. That'll you're do on, it. You're on direct feed. Pay attention. Pay attention while you're there.
Oh, okay.
Right. So when you're actually doing it, though, like, maybe you've written it down already and you're actually doing it again, what are you feeling? Are you like changing in real time? Are you sort of adjusting? You say, okay, this cadence needs to be adjusted here. I want to take this word and change it a little bit. How does that process work for you?
I'll go back. I mean, I'll go back and look at it after I wrote it down, and sometimes I'll make adjustments or small tweaks. And I definitely pick words very intentionally. I know that Jordan's super into wordsmithing, and I find that topic really interesting. I've been learning a lot while I'm here from him. And it's something I do with my lyrics, no doubt. I pick them very intentionally because it matters how people perceive them, I guess. I know you can't control everyone's perceptions, and they're responsible for their own perceptions. But understanding the psychology of the typical human, you can definitely, I don't want to use the word manipulate, but manipulate, good or for bad, but I'm trying to do it for good, what the, how they receive it. So that's something I definitely do is pick my words, my lyrics consciously.
Okay. Just sort of a targeted approach to engage in such a way that will be a probable and beneficial result for everybody.
Boom.
That's what I hear you say.
There you go.
Okay. Awesome. So the channel has been expressed. We understand and recognize that it's all flowing. How do you turn it on and off? Is it something you just sort of have to get into the mood? Can you take a couple breaths, or does it just come right on? How does that work?
Normally it's about my own vibration, just like, you know, channeling anything, because like you said, we're always channeling something. And it's getting into the right mindset. Taking breaths is normally involved.
Okay. So do you want to give us a little example? Maybe our listeners can hear you do a little, you know, you don't have to freestyle, but maybe you have something prepared that you really enjoy that's a favorite of yours.
Yeah, definitely. I have a new album out. I haven't mentioned this yet, and I know there'll be a plug for it later, but I have a new album out, Welcome to the World of Wizarding. It's now available on iTunes and DatPiff. And so if you want to support me, that'd be super cool. If you just want to hear it, you can listen to most of the songs on SoundCloud as well for free to stream. So I'll do my favorite verse from that album. Let's take back what is ours. There's an elite in charge. For far too long, they've been at large, manipulating with currency. 20-some years and it never occurred to me a third of our presidents were Masons 33rd degree, exposing the truth. There's a lot to accept. Lotus flower, no lily, flirtily, captivated by geometry. Human...
Oh, we lost you for a bit. Keep going. There's a little interference. Go ahead.
Hidden symbology, Gemini astrology, divorce and the marriage of spirit and psychology. This world means a lot to me, so I give it all of me. We're so dumbed down. We've had a lobotomy. I govern myself. I don't need government. Glean in the light. I rap enlightenment. Thinking that I'm done, well, I haven't made a dent. Original rapper, I'm refreshing as mint. Still haven't made a cent. More the money of a mint. Camping out in tents, connecting with the higher. Our situation's dire. Life's hanging by a wire. Gotta stay inspired. I'm high, not tired. I pray for my friends. I pray for T-Wiz. I can't give you answers, only show you how I live. Give thanks when I awake. I set my intention. Ancient or astronaut theorist Zachariah Sitchin. Actualize my dreams from the fifth dimension. I rap for my people. I love when you listen. I pray for my people. I pray for this earth. Our consciousness increases to show our worth. We're children divine with potential inside. Daily I'm working on killing my pride. The truth cannot hide. I'm risking my hide. Bodies live and die. You could call that roll tide. I focus on eternal. I was raised by a kernel. Meditation diurnal. My whole world internal. These raps are my consciousness. We're suffering from listlessness. We need to wake the fuck up. Work hard, there's no luck up. I'm loving everyone in front of me. That's what's up. I don't get so messed up. I keep on my mission. This world is changing. That's part of my vision. Be who you are. Take time to listen. You are complete. Nothing is missing.
Right. Woo! Right.
So that, right. That, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So when you find you do shows and stuff, man, how are you received? How are the people? Are you finding that people are like, wow, he's saying stuff that I've been thinking about?
Well, it depends on your audience. Like I was talking about, if I'm rapping for people at a music festival, they think it's a lot cooler than when I rap at a Chief Keef concert.
Right. You know? Right, right, right. So, like, what? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, a little, you know, the approach is important. So a little sound behind it, you know, sort of stimulates the interest, and then it gets them locked into the verse and they sort of fall in with you. And
definitely. The energy behind it is huge. Right. Like that was more like spoken word, and it was right. Kind of hard for me to get my rhythm a little bit just because it was not something I was quite as used to. But rapping with the beat can be a huge difference because it brings it or chills it out or does whatever it does.
That's right. Awesome. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Ross. And then if you guys want, we can just sort of freestyle a bit in some role playing and stuff like that. Because I know, Ross, you're interested in learning what we're about. So
yeah,
could be a possibility.
All right.
All right, great. Well, we're going to go to break and we'll see you guys when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. For those of you just joining us, we have Ross Diot on today. He's a spiritual rapper. He did a little freestyle for us, or excuse me, a pre-planned rap, but he did it freestyle on the radio. We've been talking a little bit about sound, vibration, how it affects the body, and the importance of recognizing the societal changes that are happening with today's popular music. So we could just go ahead and end the show with just thanking Ross and doing all these different types of things that we usually do. Or if you want to get creative, I don't know how you guys feel, maybe we can do a little role play. And Ross, is there some sort of situation that you've come across in your life, real short and sweet, something that, you know, kind of pissed you off, or some sort of thing that was like a conflict that could have been resolved? And can you walk us through
it? Oh, this is a dream come true, Jordan. This is a dream come true.
And we'll sort of role play and see how we could wordsmith it.
I can offer you a smorgasbord of different scenarios of which have involved law enforcement where I've been pissed off. I'll give you a few. We can whittle it down.
Give me the biggest one that you have. We'll just go.
The biggest one. Well, how about a trap? I get pulled over for a traffic ticket. That's the most common one. That's the one I feel like I'm most likely to face. So, I'm getting pulled over. I do have regular license plates and driver's license, state issued.
Okay.
What if I didn't want that? Or I don't know how you want to do the role play. Well, but...
no, basically I was just wanting you to describe a situation you had, and then we can sort of just kind of wordsmith it ourselves. Me and Corey will just take a role or something like that, and we can just go at it. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
A quick example. I'm sort of trying to incorporate the role play at the end so people can get this, be left with this feeling of, okay, this is
okay.
How it's done.
I have a perfect one then.
Okay, go.
So I was at a park and I was shooting a potato cannon, and they're if you don't know what those are, it's a PVC tube and you use hairspray and and you shoot potatoes. and apparently someone else at the park alerted the police, and so we left and we started going on our way, and he ended up pulling us over and searched our car, got us out, searched us, and you know, did he have a right to do that? I mean, I don't think so. We had already left the park. He didn't see us do anything. No one saw us do anything. And we ended up getting to keep our potato gun and nothing happened. But that, what were my rights in that? Cause,
okay. So what we'll do instead of a role play is sort of an analysis of the situation. This is good.
Okay.
So at some point, the standard thing is, you know, license, registration, all these types of things. At some point, they're going to ask you for performance, and however that shows up will be up to you to discern.
Is it performance when they ask you for your license?
Yeah. Well, it is. Mm-hmm. But that's the initial thing that they're required to do to establish a contract or jurisdiction with you as a public officer. When they turn on the lights, they're declaring an emergency. And so either they've witnessed a crime being committed or something else dictates that they do that.
Or a life and death situation.
That's right. So what's happening is when you do get pulled over, you're automatically in court, basically. You're under investigation, under detainment. They ask you for some initial performance, driver's license, registration, please, so on and so forth. If you're not taking personal jurisdiction of those things, those are great. You know, here you go. The license is, you know, right here, or the number is this, you know. I'll trust that you'll get that back to me, with no detriment to myself or my person. And once they've done that, they'll go back to their car. They'll check and make sure you don't have warrants, yada, yada, yada. They'll come back up. Then they'll either let you go, or they'll ask you for further performance, or they'll ask you for testimony, right? So I'm pretty sure something like that might have happened where he's like, can I search the car? Do you mind if I search the car? Or he could even have said, I'm going to search the car, and waited and see if he got a response. Or anything other than no, you're not.
Right? Ah,
so it's
all about that contracting.
It is
with the police officers establishing jurisdiction.
Do you mind if we check the car?
Do you mind stepping out of the vehicle? How many times?
Right.
You hear that? You know, even on TV. Do you mind stepping out of the vehicle for me, sir?
I actually do mind.
Would it result in my body being harmed if I did mind?
Right, ask a question.
Because I feel safer here, and if you can't show me how it's not lawful for me to communicate through this little gap here that we can clearly hear each other through, then I'm not willing to renegotiate. So I think I'll just stay right here. You know, how can I help you? How can we resolve this? I'm on my way, and you go back and pull other people over, go home, drink your beers, watch TV, whatever you do at night, and be with your family. All right, that's the situation I want. I talk to them like this.
Am I under arrest?
And there's a lot of the Freeman guys. You got to really distinguish yourself, gentlemen. You really do, Corey. That used to work. I don't find that it's tasteful anymore because, you know, in today's day and age, if you get a power hungry guy who doesn't really care or understand,
you will be.
Yeah, you're under arrest. You sneezed. You're going to jail. Right. So. Have you witnessed any crime being committed here today? Is there any cause for any reasonable person to believe a crime has been committed?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a crime to know this person? Is it a crime to travel in my, you know, conveyance safely down the road while being privately insured? Mm. Oh, it's not? Okay. Am I able to be, you know, am I able to be on my way? Am I free to go? I'm not. Okay, great. I'm appealing your determination. I need you to get your supervisor down here. Get your watch commander. Oh, you don't have one. Okay, all right, fine. Whoever the person is that decides whether you have a job or not at the end of the day, that's the person I want to talk to, and I know you're required to get them here, so I'll wait. You know, here's my keys. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not a flight risk. Mm. I grant you these keys in trust. So, Ross, you can go all sorts of different ways, but that's one way you could have handled it. Or you know what? Everything's negotiable. Maybe you do a little spiritual rap for him on why he can't search the car.
Freestyle.
A little freestyle.
And so, it's about just having some cojones as well, it sounds like. It's not just...
Yes. That's right. It really is. You know, even in a situation, you're in handcuffs, you're in sitting out a traffic ticket because you didn't want to pay it, something like that. We talk about this because it happens to a lot of people. You know, not a lot of people want to talk about it, but it's happened to them in their life at some point, some sort of dealings with the court. But you're say, for example, you're in front of the judge, you know, and you're saying your piece, you're in handcuffs already. There's bailiffs menacing you in the room. I'm describing a personal experience. And the judge is threatening you that if you continue trying to take your tack or saying what you're doing or whatever, that he's going to throw you in jail. But the hearing is just a hearing before you go to jail anyways for any typical person. It's like an arraignment, right? So the threat is hollow. And I recognized it, and you, if you recognize it, you can continue and stand on your square and make them liable, and at some point, you just come down to, I'm either going to get thrown in jail through a criminal act that was ultra-virus, or the guy's going to renegotiate or back off his position.
What's ultra-virus, Jordan?
Without jurisdiction, out of the scope of their authority, outside the boundaries of the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the key is knowing. The key is knowing. You know, the more we know about how these systems operate, that's critical at first. And then once you have that understanding, you know, because no one likes dealing with the authorities. No one likes going to court. You know, it's scary for people. I know people who have plenty of experience dealing with law enforcement and court situations and so forth. And it's like, you know, it's like stage fright, you know. You always know it could go in any different direction. But if you have a firm understanding and, you know, you have faith in your own knowledge and understanding and process and some tactical wordsmithing under your belt, and just know the outcome that you want, then you have a better chance of arriving at that outcome. You know, normally it's like, oh God, the cops, and then it's like, I'm going to jail, you know, and then so you. It's
the energy you start with too. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's paramount. You know, I mean, yeah. Plenty of times police pull over, come to the, hi officer, how may I help you? And it's just the energy and the vibe. You know, you can feel them out. You know, where are they coming from?
That's right. You know? That's right. So based on the first interaction, you can sort of just tell, you know, what's going to happen on a general scope. And we'll talk more about that in shows to come, how to perceive intention. That's a really big thing in tactical wordsmithing. Corey, what do you think about this idea? Let's toss around the idea of doing a live call-in show next week where we can just pretty much field any question. I don't care about the topic. If there's some way that we can help you and you want to ask a question, listeners, give us a call. We'll try to get through as many as we can and give you our perspective. And see if we can't help people.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen next week. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, it's practical, you know, helping folks with real life situations that they've experienced. And which are typically common. You will probably hear a lot of similar stories, I would imagine. Traffic situations are the, you know, that's like the, I think that's why there's a lot of attention paid to it in various communities, you know, the Patriot community, Freedom community, because that's the nexus between the individual, the living individual.
Take out the traffic ticket system
and the state.
Revenue state and the entire thing right. falls on its face. All of it. It's all being right. collateralized and sent up to the national level.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something we can touch on as well. That's a really big one, Corey. Thank you for that. Mm. Ross, I also want to thank you, man. You did a great job. You really grabbed your balls and stood up today and displayed some talent. So I appreciate that. I know the beat wasn't there for you like it normally is, but thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank we'll you guys you for having this.
Yeah, we'll have you back, man. We'll have some music for you. And then, you know, between now and then, we'll talk about some stuff. I got some sound for you.
All awesome. Right.
Thanks, guys. It's been a great show. Listeners, I really appreciate you as well. And stay tuned. Come next week and take your questions and just throw it at us. You know, don't have to filter it. You don't have to make it all nice and neat. Just toss it at us and we'll see what we can, you know, come up with and bat an answer back at you. I appreciate it. You guys stay healthy and safe. And until Peace. Next time.
Peace.
Thank you.